I'm going to talk about times of refreshing this morning. Do you know, we like fresh things, don't we? If you go into the supermarket, you look for fresh stuff, don't you? Some of us, when you get a little bit older, and some make it a habit, because I've seen them in our local Tesco's. They go down especially when the red labels are on. They're not exactly fresh. They are fresh, but by the sell-by date, they're not exactly fresh. You know, they're running out tomorrow. But us oldies don't care about that. But we do like, occasionally, fresh things. I like fresh veg. How about a nice fresh donut? Whoa, bring that on. The fresh food at Pilgrim Hall. Oh, bring it on. We haven't had a kitchen for 3 weeks. We lived out the microwave. Fresh veg. Fresh meat. Fresh fish. We all like fresh things, don't we? All of us. We all like a fresh message. I mean, what happens if we came to the church and we heard the same old message over and over and over again? You know, I know repetition is the manner of learning, but I don't want to boast, but I hardly preach the same word twice. Because I don't do many notes. I just think about what God is speaking about. You know what? It's times of refreshing that the church needs. It's times of refreshing that all of us need. We went to Pilgrim Hall. Yes, it was a lovely time of refreshing, but that was last week. Anybody had any battles since? No? Come on, there must be more than that. We've got to be continually to be refreshed in the work of God. In the life of the Holy Spirit, we have to be continually refreshed. We have to make a concerted effort to be refreshed. All of us. It's not all just the pastor. It's not just Mark. It's got to be here and the leader, our leader, our elder, to be here and he's got to be fresh all the time. Fresh with his knowledge, fresh of what's going on in the church and all those little things. We've all got to be fresh. We've all got to be in season. The Bible says we've got to be in season, ready, and even out of season, we've got to be ready in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means to be continually filled. And I'm going to speak about this morning about the refreshing times of the Holy Spirit that we all need. But we have to exercise ourselves. We have to break out of those things that strap us in our seats. And say, yeah, we're going to be... I don't like any form of turbulence on an aeroplane. I hate it. On one of the last flights that we had when we came back from Spain, it was really turbulent. And I was in the back seat. And I was reading a book about faith. And I'm thinking, hey, boom, boom. There's a lady pilot as well. Sorry. Oh. Times of refreshing. Do you know what Kipsa told me? Dad, we're going to make sure you're fresh. I said, why's that? Because in your old age, I don't want you smelling like potatoes. That's what they told me. I'm not being offensive to anybody, but that's what my children have told me, and I'm telling you. So you can't be offensive about that, and I'm not offensive to humanity, but that's what my son, I'm telling you my business. So every morning, shh, shh. My wife's got a thing about freshness. We've changed the system a bit now. Because I walked into the lounge, shh. Walked into the dining room, shh. Walked into the bathroom, shh, 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 shh. And I thought, she's trying to give me a message with these air fresheners. Now we have those little things that make the, they don't make a noise. Hallelujah. They don't make a noise when you get out in the night. They sometimes make you jump. I said to my wife, for goodness sake, take that thing out the hall. Our son-in-law's coming around and saying, every time you come in the house, it's freshness is important. You know, this week I went up into the Downs. I walked from Willingdon. My daughter said, look, we only want to go to the post office. But she said, she looked up and onto the South Downs. They're what, about, they must be 600, 700, nearly 1,000 feet up. She said, shall we go up there, Dad? I mean, I'm 77. What's the job to get to the post office? And do you know what? I walked right up the top to Butts Brow, which is any walkers know here, and Anthony's been a walker up there. It's high, isn't it? And I tell you what, as I went up, I stopped, breathed in the air, and I thought, it ain't going to beat me. I stopped on the seat only for a few seconds. She said, are you all right, Dad? I said, yes, I'm all right. We moved on. And you know what? As I started to inhale that fresh air up on the Downs, it's like a second wind came over me. It was incredible. I thought, I'm never going to get up that last bit. It was like this, literally. You had to run down it. I got up there and I felt like a king. And I was so refreshed. It's amazing when you give yourself. It's amazing when you do something about it. And I felt a new man. I felt energized. What are you thinking, darling? I need to turn to the Word of God, don't I? Praise the Lord. You have the same problem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 3. I wondered if you could help me. And we read it quickly. Yeah? For me on the seats, we will read Acts chapter 3. Read it very, very quickly. And if you want to stand up, shout loud. We've only got 10 minutes left. Acts chapter 3. Who's going to start? Okay, Susan. Away you go.
Sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. While they had held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from
the dead.
We are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Verse 17.
"Now, fellow Israelite, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." 22.
"For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, all have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities."
What a wonderful story here of refreshment. You know that Peter and the disciples had been waiting in Pentecost for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They had been together and they were refreshed in the Spirit. You know, we can't refresh someone if we're stale. It's impossible. The church cannot refresh if we're stale. And we've, you know, Mark's talked about over and over again at Pilgrim Hall about turning up the barometer, turning up the heating. And it's important that now we increase our heart's desire for a greater capacity of the Holy Spirit. We had a wonderful weekend at Pilgrim Hall. We thought about all sorts of stuff, didn't we? We talked about an awesome, audacious God. We talked about the reality of Christ, the reality of the battle. We talked about the reality of the axe that we're supposed to wield. But now, we need to address the reality of the Holy Spirit, who is the all in all and the be all of the entire church. Hallelujah. The refreshing wind of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You know that little bottle in our house that goes ch, ch, ch. You only get a little bit, but it's powerful. You only want a little of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But he's powerful. He can change you, not just for a moment. That little thing in that room has to go ch, ch, ch. Keep on ch, ch, ch. But you can be refreshed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can have a power that is resident within you and courses through you in your experience of everyday life. The Holy Spirit is always available 24/7. Glory to God. I'm believing that from Pilgrim Hall, like Mark says, it's a stepping stone, but it's a time of refreshing. Hallelujah. Who was touched by the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. It was a wonderful time, wasn't it? And we'll be able to look back. How many of us can look back when we were together with God's people and that time of refreshing came to us? It's amazing. When God comes to the corporate refreshment of the people, sometimes the refreshing comes corporately. It comes to you like Peter when he was casting his nets, but everybody else was round. And I guess his friends had the fishes as well. And they were big ones. You see, refreshment is important in the kingdom of God. Being refreshed. What does it say here? Peter speaks about his experience. You turn and repent at times of what? Refreshing. Oh, isn't that lovely? Times of refreshing. Say this after me. I've got to look at it. It's pronounced like this. Anapuko. Sounds like you're some speaking a different language. Shout it out loud. Anapuko. You never forget this sermon, will you? Anapuko. Anapuko. It's Greek. Oh, yeah. It's Greek for refreshing. Oh. It means to make alive. It means to revive. Praise the Lord. Refreshment. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us and to the church. It's refreshment. Praise the Lord. Refreshment. We had refreshment at Pilgrim Hall in the physical, didn't we? Wow, I came out of there like, ooh. I was absolutely, I think I overindulged. But we need to be like this with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we can refresh each other. We can refresh others around us. You see, when we catch the Holy Spirit, it's powerful. You can't see him. But Jesus said it's like the wind. He's like the wind. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he goes. Sometimes he comes in mighty, mighty, almost audacious power. That's what Mark said. Audacious. The Holy Spirit sweeps through circumstances and situations and nations that we can never dream of. And don't we need an audacious move of the Spirit of God in the age in which we live? The church is being woven into a relevant place to the world. Don't touch those people out there. Just let it all go on. We've been quiet for so many times. Our God is a holy God. We have a Holy Spirit who convicts. We have a Holy Spirit. And the church is being, if you like, imprisoned by what's going on out there. We're not allowed to say anything. We're not allowed to do anything. And we're accepting our families being raised up with all this junk and filth. We need a freshness of the Spirit of God to go through the church. I was reading in the magazine, in the doctors this week, It was a saga magazine. Wow. I wanted to go like that and tear it up in the front of everybody. It was a terrible article that a so-called vicar was writing. Got to be careful what I say. But the Bible's not careful to what it says if we read the Word of God. Times of refreshing will only come to the church, will only come to us if we are holy people, set apart, sanctified. I should be a sanctified person. But sometimes I get a glimpse of stuff. We're all human, aren't we? And suddenly, my refreshment of the Holy Spirit is gone. So we want to keep alive. We need to thank the Lord for the Lord's table, eh? Where we can be washed and renewed and cleansed. Praise the Lord. Times are refreshing. You know, the Spirit of God is known as the Ruach. Ruach. In the Greek, is it in the Hebrew? That's in the Hebrew. Ruach. And many times in the Holy Spirit, speaking about the wind of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is Ruach. Ruach. And that means powerful, lively, dramatic. The word neshama, there were two words that they used for wind in the Bible. One is in the Hebrew, either neshama or ruach. And usually, the word is used more frequently, ruach. And ruach is used for the Holy Spirit. It means lively. It means windy. It means noisy. Do you know, I live on the downs. And I tell you what, it's much more windier, or below the downs, it's much windier there than what it is in Crawley. And I can see the wind going over the downs sometimes, and the clouds coming down. And you can actually see the downdraft. Hallelujah. Don't we need a downdraft of wind from the Holy Spirit? And then sometimes I can see the updraft. And it's incredible how I see the wind moving. And the Holy Spirit is moving in this church, whether you like it or not. And some of us are going to kick against the pricks. Because when this wind blows, he convicts as well. He makes us aware. He knows what's going on. We can't hide anything from the Holy Spirit. Do you know, when I came to the Lord, there was stuff in my life. I became a Christian. I came to the Lord, but I had such a guilt conscience. The Holy Spirit made me confess. It haunted me. And the Holy Spirit will have no nonsense. If there are things that are antagonizing us as Christians that we didn't put right and we need to put right, God can cleanse us and everything. We don't have to confess. The Bible said if you confess to one another, then you will be healed. I made a confession, and the Lord blessed our lives abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The ruach of the Holy Spirit had got a hold of my life. Incredible. He knew every detail. And I'm not perfect. You know that, don't you? I'm not perfect. But I see this wind when it blows over the hills. In fact, in my garden, the trees are facing one way like this. Yeah? It's because the wind is predominant from the southeast. It comes over the downs and there's a predominance of the shape. Praise the Lord. We are shaped by the Spirit of God. And it takes time. But one of the things is, he doesn't knock us over. My tree fell over. What a mess it was as well. And it was one of them moments I said, oh Lord, I could do without this. We've got to have no kitchen. We've got no this, got no that. But the wind of the Holy Spirit is precious. Precious. Do you know in the Bible where it says, and the Lord breathed out of his nostrils over the Red Sea? That was Ruach. You see, the Holy Spirit disturbs. Praise the Lord. We want a disturbance of our nation. Incredible what's happening out there. Men of the cloth are preaching a relevant gospel, which is wrong. I mean, there's 1,001 things we could read the Word of God. Neither are idolaters, neither are effeminate, neither those that give their bodies to themselves in same sex. The Bible says that. This is what the Bible says. I'm not preaching against people out there, because we have to have love and mercy. We have to have the wind of the Spirit. We have to bring times of refreshing to our nation. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, I must end it 5 past. It is on my heart. It's on my heart. I want to tell you, Maureen and I have walked into a blank canvas in our lives. You know, we knew nobody in Eastbourne, but we are being led by God's precious Holy Spirit. We've been led to a tiny little fellowship that we didn't want to go to. You see, the wind blows us. We have no option. When the Holy Spirit says it, we are moved by the Holy Spirit. And we could do things that sometimes we don't want to do. I thought, I don't want to join a little church. The rigors of the ministry, you know, driving a taxi. Picking up them, picking up people, picking up this, doing that, do this, do that. I said, oh, Lord, I'm simply... The Lord said, you do what I tell you to do. There's no option. And I had to go and see the pastor the other day. The church, there's probably about 15 at the most, isn't it, darling? I said, we'd like to join you because the Lord is speaking to us. I thought, oh, I put myself up now. You know, like you do. But the Lord is opening the doors. And times of refreshing are coming. We didn't know a person. Within 1 week, we moved into an area. Our social lives are going to be changed completely. Our contacts, our friends, within 1 week, not last week, the week before, after we come back from the conference, 4 new Christians. We fellowshiped with 4 new Christians and prayed with them all. Well, what about that? The Bible said we are led by the Holy Spirit, and Maureen and I, we're going to get refreshed in Eastbourne. This is the time of refreshing. What does the Holy Spirit give us? Gives us gifts, doesn't he? He gives the church gifts. What is it for? It's for the gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ, aren't they? They're for refreshing. The gift of wisdom. The gift of knowledge. The gift of faith. The gift of miracles. The gift of healings. They're not for me. They're not just for me. We come to church sometimes and say, oh Lord, we want to be refreshed. And Mark said, the Lord is audacious. When we was at the conference, God said to me, you need to go and see to that person. If they come forward in prayer, God told me this. This is an audaciousness. And I thought, I'm going to get really... And I had a gentle word with this person, or two persons, and said that the Lord has told me, you know, you need to spend a bit more priority with each other. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I said, I can't do that, Lord. Oh, I can't do that. And the Lord reminded me, he gives you the gift of discernment. It's the Holy Spirit. It's incredible, isn't it? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to do things, to say things, to achieve, to accomplish. We need the Holy Spirit. Times of refreshing. I'm glad some of us are doing something about conference. And thank God for the generosity of this church. Thank God for the generosity of someone who, with a freshness in his heart or her heart, just dropped a whole load of finance into the church coffers. So we could what? Be refreshed. Praise the Lord. I'm going to end there. Let's stand together, shall we? Praise the Lord, because time has gone on. Praise the Lord. Lord, some of us need your breath of life to be breathed into us again. Lord, I thank you that you breathed into that corpse, Adam, and it became a living soul. Lord, we confess we get tired, we get weary, we get fed up. We come to a dead end, sometimes in our spiritual experience. We confess we need invigorating. We confess we need a fresh touch and a renewal of your spirit. Lord, what would we do without you? Those difficult times, Lord, when we're on our knees, when we're up against it, when we're sick. For some of us, Lord, our minds deeply troubled and agonized by continuing health problems. Father, in the name of Jesus, difficult to lay our head on the pillows at night. Some of us need refreshing sleep, oh Father. In the name of Jesus. Some of us, oh Lord, need refreshment in our families. We need our loved ones to come home, to love us and put their arms around us. Lord, we need refreshing in many areas of our lives. Some need refreshing in a financial area. Father, in the name of Jesus, some need refreshing in the psychological area. Some need refreshing in the emotional area. Father, in the name of Jesus. Come, we pray today. I pray that, Lord, not one of us will leave this building today, that we are not refreshed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we curse everything. You said, Lord, whatever we bind on earth, we can bind also in heaven, in the name of Jesus. I bind everything that stops us from becoming a refreshed and a renewed church, moving in the realms and in the gifts and in the nature, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In the fruits of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Times of refreshing come in each of our ministries, we pray. I pray for preachers here. I pray for teachers. I pray, dear Lord, for the oversight of this church. I pray in the name of Jesus that there will ever be a refreshment amongst them that can be seen, shared corporately and individually. Let the refreshment remain in this place, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that you refresh this place through the years. For many years, you've refreshed and refreshed and refreshed and refreshed and refreshed and refreshed and renewed. And thank you, Lord, for this time of this fellowship. I just say this one thing. Once when we were in building this church, I saw a man poke his head through the window. He was a Muslim. He said, will you sell me this building? And I thought, all those years ago, the Lord has refreshed this congregation time after time after time after time. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we thought the chips were down, the Lord has refreshed us. Hallelujah. The Lord has renewed us. Praise the Lord. Even when I left this place, the Lord refreshed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Our God is a refresher. Hallelujah.